So almost everyone wants to belong to something, or someone, or some group. We humans are social animals. Some of us are more social than others. Some of us are more loners than others. But all of us want to belong in some way, somehow. And we struggle with belonging. We sometimes take pride in defining ourselves as a gathering of heretics, which we are. We take pride in our first principle, the inherent worth of each individual, and then we focus on the individuality and not the worth. And we forget that the first principle is balanced by the seventh principle, the respect for the interdependent web. When we focus on our individuality, and we look at that seventh principle, we see that web as that natural environment out there. But we forget that we are all interconnected, not only with nature, but with one another. Our principles tell us that, yes, we should value the individual and at the same time value the network that that individual lives within. I also think we have a couple of beloved UU values that might impede a little bit on our belonging. We value sometimes protecting individual freedom over and against the value of community and accountability. Sometimes we affirm inner authority to such an extent that I am allowed to say whatever I want, whenever I want, forgetting that I am also accountable to the impact of my actions. Because sometimes we really value intent over impact instead of seeing that they are linked. Recently, I was reminded of this when I was talking with a colleague, a UCC pastor who pastors in another state. He was looking to broaden the appeal of his congregation and help it become more theologically eclectic. And he reasonably thought that the Unitarian Universalist world denomination might be a good place for his congregation. And as we talked, it became clear to me that he was looking for a denomination that would leave his congregation alone and not expect much. He did not like the ever-growing liberal leanings of the UCC, at which point I thought, brother, if you don't like the UCC. So I have to say, I egged him on a little bit because I asked him about white supremacy culture in his congregation, and he told me he did not like that term. He told me that he had fought for civil rights and what he had done in the 60s and how close friends of his were also people of color and how he had fought for women's rights. And when we got talking more about how we can fight white supremacy or how we can unbake it from the systems we live in, an older, white, classically trained liberal male felt that he was being asked to leave the table, that there was not enough room at this table. And if we invited new folks, and it was clear that he meant people of color, then there would not be room for him. When you have held a place of privilege and the system is changing and the standards are changing so that you have less privilege and less power, it sure can feel like you are being asked to leave the table. And so as we talked, we wondered what it would be like to make the table larger. We were reminded of that saying, when you have more than you need, build a bigger table, not a higher fence. I don't think that the man I was talking to understood that he had more than he needed in the way of social power. I don't think he saw that he could share some of that social power and still have more than enough for himself. All he could feel was the grief of possibly losing some of his power, and he could not admit it. Instead, he blamed those new people for not following the rules he followed, for not being like him. Building a bigger table is one step of the solution, but it is still not enough. If we have a larger table and we invite more folks to that table, we have done a good thing, and it is still not enough. In this metaphor, it sounds like we own the table and we're inviting others in. that we are expecting them to sit at our table and behave like us. Now, I might be overworking this metaphor. I've been known to do it from time to time. But maybe we should just leave our table altogether and find a group of people as diverse as possible, and then all together build a new table, make new rules as what it means to be in community together. One of the reasons I love the Harry Potter books is that Harry struggles with this issue. How do I belong here? How do I fit in? Because he had so little growing up and he was treated so badly, by the time Hagrid comes to him on his 11th birthday and takes him to Diagon Alley, he is left amazed at all his learning about the wizard world and how he might fit in. It is just the beginning of his understanding that the reason he did not feel he belonged at the Dursleys was not because there was something wrong with him, but because the Dursleys simply wanted him to fit into their standards, as opposed to affirming all the wonderfulness that Harry is. At the end of his visit to Diagon Alley, Harry and Hagrid are having a bite to eat and have the following conversation. Hagrid says, "You all right, Harry? You're very quiet." Harry wasn't sure he could explain. He just had the best birthday of his life, and yet he chewed his hamburger trying to find the words. "Everyone thinks I'm special," he said at last. "All those people in the Leaky Cauldron, Professor Quirrell, Mr. Ollivander. But I don't know anything about magic at all. How can they expect great things? I'm famous, and I can't even remember what I'm famous for. I don't know what happened with the night my parents died." Hagrid leaned across the table. Behind the wild beard and eyebrows, he wore a very kind smile. "Don't you worry, Harry. You'll learn fast enough. Everyone starts at the beginning at Hogwarts. You'll be just fine. Just be yourself. I know it's hard. You've been singled out, and that's always hard. But you'll have a great time at Hogwarts. I did. Still do, as a matter of fact." Hagrid could see Harry for who he was. Hagrid did not expect Harry to fit in, to change himself to fit in to Hogwarts. And this is the key to belonging. Brené Brown writes, "True belonging is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness in both being part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are." And wasn't that Harry's whole journey of all seven books, finding out who he is? She goes on to say, Brené Brown does, "The importance of belonging became very real to me years ago when I was interviewing a group of middle school students about the difference of fitting in and belonging. They gave these answers. Belonging is being somewhere where you want to be and they want you. Fitting in is being somewhere where you want to be, but they don't care one way or the other. Belonging is being accepted for you. Fitting in is being accepted for being like everyone else. If I get to be me, I belong. If I have to be like you, I fit in. I will feel like I belong when I get to be me in a group. And you will feel like you belong when you get to be you in a group. Tina gave me a resource, a social justice curriculum for youth, about fitting in versus belonging. And a couple of the points were, when we talk about inclusive spaces, often what we are really getting at is creating a space where more people have the opportunity to feel like they belong. Fitting in takes a lot of energy from the individual, Belonging may take special effort from the community. It is the responsibility of people who create the norms of a group or environment to consider who feels they belong and who is simply fitting in. Social justice education often helps us bring to light the work that some people are doing to fit in our communities, as well as helps us acknowledge ways that we can make people feel that they have the opportunity to belong. So I would say belonging is a two-way relationship where fitting in is a kind of one-way relationship. And this is where my colleague, who I spoke of earlier, did not get it. He wanted to lead a community where people of color knew how to act like white folk and therefore fit in. He did not want to be in a community that was doing the work to see how they could be more inclusive in a way that allowed people, no matter their color, to feel like they belong. In belonging, the community has to be aware of its communal norms and how the community enforces them. And the community needs to be open to changing those norms. And the individual has to be willing to be open to being themselves, to do more than simply try to fit in. In her book, Braving the Wilderness, Brené Brown talks about having a strong back and a soft front as a good way of being in the world. And I think Andrea's yoga introduction to this was absolutely excellent and backed up by a quote that Brené Brown gave from a Buddhist teacher, Joan Halifax. All too often, our so-called strength comes from fear, not love. Instead of having a strong back, many of us have a defended front, shielding a weak spine. In other words, we walk around brittle and defensive, trying to conceal our lack of confidence. If we strengthen our backs, metaphorically speaking, and develop a spine that is flexible but sturdy, then we can risk having a front that is soft and open. How can we give and accept care with strong back, soft front, compassion, moving past fear into a place of genuine tenderness? Now, you may wonder what this has to do with belonging, how having a strong back and soft front makes it easier to belong. And so, if you're willing, I invite you to close your eyes and take a moment and imagine your most beloved person in the world. Hold that person in your mind's eye. And I want you to imagine that person smiling at you and greeting you, and you move toward them and give them a big hug. I bet they have a soft front and a strong back. Now imagine instead that they have a hard front, that they are literally wearing a set of armor on their front. That hug is not going to feel so good. Or imagine that you give them that great big juicy bear hug and they have a soft back and you bowl them right over. That also won't feel good. I would bet that most of you know intuitively that being received by someone who has a soft front, strong back is wonderful. And it is often easier to ask others to have that soft front and strong back so we feel welcomed. And it is absolutely okay to ask for that. And it is important for each of us to do our own work too. Developing our own strong back, soft front. Our work as Unitarian Universalists in becoming the beloved community is that each of us needs to work on having our own soft fronts and strong backs so that as a community we will have a strong back and a soft front ready to welcome people in. What Brené Brown is saying in her books and lectures, and what Harry Potter finds out in his adventure in the wizardry world, is that in order to belong to another or to a community, first you must belong to yourself. You must have the courage to stand alone, to say what you believe, even if it sets you apart. That is the strong back. I am not a Harry Potter expert, but somehow his using the word Voldemort all the time instead of saying, you know who, to me is strong back behavior. And in order to belong and to offer belonging, we cannot simply have a strong back. Our UU focus and comfort on rabid individuality is strong back behavior, but it is not balanced with soft front behavior. We must also develop that soft front. Remember the hug you imagined. In order to belong to someone or some group, there has to be a soft space to be received, a soft front. And so we as a community must remember that we are responsible for creating a soft landing place for others where they can be themselves so that newcomers in our community know that there is a place for them where they get to belong, not fit in. And I will end with these words of Brené Brown. People are hard to hate close up. Move in. Speak truth to bullshit. Be civil. Hold hands with strangers. Strong back, soft front, wild heart. In a world without end, may this be so.